Hi, you're listening to Rav Danny Eisenberg, and welcome to the podcast. This week's Parsha, Parshat Vayeshev, opens with a very powerful concept based on the first pasuk of the Parsha. Vayeshev Yaakov ve'eretz megurei aviv ve'eretz Kanan. Yaakov settled in the land of the sojournings of his father, in the land of Canaan. Now, Rashi brings a fascinating midrash that says as follows. It understands why does the term for Yaakov settling, Vayeshev Yaakov, differ from that of his father, where it's Megurei. Megurei represents a much more transient form of settlement, sojourning, whereas Vayeshev is a stronger form, and therefore Rashi brings a midrash that says, Vayeshev, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Beshalva. That when it says Vayeshev, it means that Yaakov sought to dwell in tranquility. This is quite understandable that Yaakov would want to have a bit of a break here. After all, his entire life until this point had been full of turmoil and complexity. He had to leave home, to flee, to escape the wrath of his brother Esav. He spent 20 years with a swindling uncle, Lavan. And now, he returns to the land of Canaan, only to be uncertain of where he stands in the eyes of his brother Esav again, fearing the worst. He manages to get through that. He thinks that he can settle down, and then he has more problems when his daughter Dinah is raped by the people of Shechem, or by a person of Shechem, and in the end there's a whole mini war that breaks out over this story, and Yaakov has basically, he's had enough. He's ready to relax, to retire, have a bit of a break. But apparently, according to the Midrash, he's taken to task for this approach. When it says, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Beshava, he wanted to dwell in tranquility. Kafatz alav rugzo shel Yosef. So now, all of a sudden, the fury or the anxiety of the story of Yosef jumps upon him. In other words, at this point in time begins the drama whereby the struggle between Joseph and his brothers will eventually lead to Joseph being sold to a slave and being away from his father for 22 years. This all happens now, according to the Midrash, because Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Beshalva, he sought to dwell in tranquility. Why did this happen? So the Midrash continues. Tzadikim mevakshim Leshev Beshalva, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God says, the righteous seek to dwell in tranquility. Lo dayan latzadikim mashim mitukan lehim l'olam haba, elish mevakshim Leshev Beshalva ba'olam hazeh. Isn't it enough for the righteous what is planned for them in the world to come? Then they have to also seek to dwell in tranquility in this world as well. So it's not for the righteous people to seek tranquility in this world, that's what they'll receive in the world to come. Now this is a bit of a strange comment, because after all, is it such a bad thing to want to have a life without tzoras, without problems in this world? You know, is that such a big thing to ask for? Okay, sometimes we don't always merit to have that, but to seek it, is there something wrong with that? Must we always seek to dwell in the midst of tzarot? I'd like to suggest here that the problem that that the Midrash is making is identifying with Yaakov's conduct is the fact that Yaakov had reached a stage with his children where they were now all grown up, but basically Yosef was the second youngest child, he was now 17, and the other brothers were a few years older than him. They were adults, they were out working independently, and it seems that Yaakov had reached the conclusion that his challenge with raising his family, which was the big challenge of creating the 12 Shiftei Ikar, the tribes that will eventually form the basis of the Jewish people. So Yaakov basically thought that he had done his job. He had had a hard time in the beginning, managing to keep them alive, and not only in keeping them alive, but even keeping them on on the straight path. He had issues with Reuven, he had issues with Shimon and Levi, but now that this was in the past, Yaakov essentially thought that he could just leave things to follow in autopilot, that his family would essentially continue to raise itself. If we would say what style of parenting we're talking about here, essentially passive reactive parenting, meaning just leave things to go as they are, and if a problem arises, we'll deal with the problem then. That's reactive, responding to the situations that arise. Whereas what the Torah seems to be indicating is that when you're raising a family, You can't just be reactive. You have to be proactive. You have to set the foundations. You have to continue, keep your finger on the pulse. Continue to see how things develop. Ensure that everybody is developing the way they should. Had Yaakov kept his finger on the pulse, he would have noticed that his favoritism towards Yosef was causing problems. He would have realized that the relationship between the brothers was not sufficiently stable to be left alone. Because he had gone through so much until this time, he essentially felt it was time to take a break, and it's as a result of that the events that unfolded with Yosef and his brothers from then on. It's not that God was punishing him by sending upon him this incident, but rather this was the natural consequence of when one adopts a passive, responsive form of parenting rather than a proactive, decisive one. It's not enough to just prevent things from going wrong. You have to actively ensure that things go right as well. You have to set the correct background in order to ensure family harmony, to ensure personal development happening with all of one's children. Now, this principle here that talking about not seeking tranquility in this world, but rather only in the world to come, this is a very fundamental point. A person has to understand that this world is a world where we've been placed in to work, to develop. Man was created and placed in the world le'ovda le'shomra, to work it, to serve it, to protect it. And this requires constant effort. This is what life in this world is all about. Life is not meant to be easy. Yes, there are, we are allowed to seek a certain level of comfort. There's nothing wrong with comfort. God doesn't want us to suffer in this world. That's not what we're saying here. We're meant to enjoy life in this world, but at the same time, that is not going to be the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal in this world is to work and to make things, develop the world, improve it, enhance it. Now, it happens sometimes in our history that people have reached the conclusion that it's time for Olam Haba, it's time for the world to come to have arrived already. Now it's time to retire from the world of action and now to eat the fruits of our labors. And we see that in Jewish history that's happened in different situations, in different stages, in different periods. One can point at, for example, with the secular Zionist movement, that now that the Jews had returned to their national homeland, they thought that they were on the edge, on the threshold of the ultimate utopia. And you hear the early Zionist songs about all the hope and expectation of how they're going to create a perfect society. Od tireh kamatov yeh b'shana haba'ah. You'll just see how things are going to get better and better each year. The expectation was that we can put behind us the centuries, the millennia of anti-Semitism, we can put behind us the pogroms, we can put behind us the Shoah, we can move on to a new Jewish reality which will be completely different. It will be new Jews with a new Jewish reality. And much can be made for the fact that the existence of Medinat Yisrael is a huge watershed for the Jewish people in terms of the status of the Jewish people in the world. That we are now able to walk with our heads up high in a way that for 2,000 years we were not able to do so. But nevertheless, we have still not reached the Geula. We're not ready to retire yet. We're not ready to say that there's no more work left to be done. We cannot put behind us the work that we've been placed in this world to do, the keeping of the mitzvot, the keeping of the halakha. There is a lot of work that is still left to be done. People, in the beginning of the state, people, even Rabbonim, were talking about the fact that it seemed that the establishment of the state was at Chalta de Geula, was the beginning of the redemption. And people perhaps thought that the completion of the redemption was just something that was going to happen any minute. But over time, we've seen that perfection is the beginning. If it is the beginning of the Geula, it's the beginning of a long process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. The work has to continue, that we have to continue, and we have to have the patience to be able to deal with problems in the interim. Unfortunately, secular Zionism lost a lot of its shine because the utopian ideal was not being realized too quickly, quickly enough. You have a look at how much has been achieved in the 65 years of the state. It's an amazing thing, it's incredible. And yet you only notice that, you only appreciate that if you look at the long-term picture. Because on a day-to-day basis, yes, there are still a lot of problems. We still have the existential threats coming from different directions. We have all kinds of social challenges, all kinds of tensions that exist between groups within Israeli society. There's a lot that needs to be worked upon. And many lost their idealism when they saw that the challenges have not gone away. This is the issue here. If you think that you're waiting for an opportunity to put up your feet and relax, so then you're going to give up too soon. This world is not a world for relaxation. This world is a world for work. In a similar fashion, we hear stories about when the Jews in the early 20th century arrived to the United States. Many of them thought, we've reached the golden Medina, the golden country that is now going to create a new reality for Jews. They're going to get away from the persecution of Europe. And there are stories, I don't know how authentic they are, but there are stories told that people coming into the harbor in New York, you could see people's tefillin, hundreds of pairs of tefillin that floating in the water, in the ocean, that Jews arriving on the shores of the United States had tossed over the side of the ship. I don't know if that really happened, but it reflects a certain mentality that Jews arrived in the United States and they said, we can put behind us, we don't have to work anymore, we don't have to be different anymore, we can reach this utopian goal of being treated the same as everybody else. And with that goes the relinquishment of responsibility. From then on, people are no longer willing to take responsibility. It is unfortunately a sad reality in our history that our observance of mitzvot has always been strongest when we've been faced with persecution. As soon as the nations of the world ease up on us and are willing to accept us, then suddenly our commitment to Torah and mitzvot sort of dissipates and weakens. This is a big problem. It's essential for us to remember this central point, which is that we are here to work, and that's not going to end until the Geula comes. Even if it looks like the Geula might be coming, it's on its way. But until it actually comes, there's plenty of work to do. In fact, even after the Mashiach comes, there's definitely going to be a lot more work to do in terms of perfecting the world. The ultimate Geula, the end of the Geula, then we can already have an opportunity to sit and relax in Olam Haba. But at this point in time, there's plenty of work to do. We can't take the passive model of just sitting back and responding to problems as they come up. We have to deal with things proactively. And it's in this way that we will remain strong and our children will be strong. We will raise strong families because we don't let up as soon as the pressure is taken off. This is the big challenge of the modern age. This is the challenge that Yaakov faced. The danger is that if we don't take responsibility upon ourselves, if we don't take a proactive approach, then the problems will arise and we will already be too late in responding to them to actually deal with them properly. Yaakov wasn't able to save the problems with his family because he already came upon it too late. The damage had already been done. It was too little too late. And in the end, it led to the whole saga that only came to reconciliation 22 years later, when Yosef and their brothers were sorted all out again, this time in the land of Egypt. It comes at tremendous cost. This is the critical message of this week's parasha. Wishing everyone a Shabbat Shalom. Kol Tov.